Hello.
Hello.
So, hi there.
Everybody get the, everybody's back. So I have Doug, Marta, Bora, and Tamara. Who else is on?
Scott Mandia, the Climate Science Rapid Response Team.
Okay. Welcome.
Yep.
Now, people are probably away for the holidays, but we can still have our call. So are there any announcements?
I have one.
Okay, Doug.
Cohen, in the last few days I've been in a planning conversation about events in April in Miami that have to do with Haiti, and some projects are about the reforestation and climate change impacts of the Haiti and its long-term recovery. So there's going to be a forum down there on the Sustainable Haiti Conference. So there's, I'm going to reach out to Carolyn Lewis about Southern Florida and possibly some public events around that time of attention that's going to go towards that topic area.
Mm-hmm.
So just a heads up on an opportunity front for promoting climate change public engagement down there.
Mm-hmm. Is this going to be a series of events, or is it going to be a workshop, or?
Series of events, and then, you know, my sensibility lately has been to try to find various ways for public engagement. There'll be receptions and brunches and as well as a formal conference, and they're actually tying this in. This is interesting for us in terms of strategy from the last conversations about communication, et cetera, but there's a series of art and film events that are part of something called Sustainatopia that's all produced by the same guy that's putting on a social capital conference and a Sustainable Haiti conference in the same week. So being able to tie in climate change awareness with these public and art and cultural events is a part of a strategy of
mm-hmm.
Multifaceted public engagement.
Mm-hmm.
But the conference is called Sustainable Haiti Conference, and Sustainatopia is the catchword of the whole event.
I see.
So I'm involved with the conference, and therefore I'm going to bring climate change education into this planning.
Okay, great. If you'd like, we could probably send you some of the Climate Literacy Network bookmarks if
that
you want something wanted to hand out some stuff.
Be good, yeah.
Okay. Are there other announcements?
I have a couple of things I guess I could say. I was at AGU. I just got back. And
okay,
I was very,
this is Scott?
Scott Mandia, yes. I was very pleased to see that communicating science was a top priority at the AGU. There are quite a few workshops and lectures, and one thing I thought was really nice is it was kind of difficult, actually, in the handbook to find individual sessions, but right in the front they had a color-coded, very easy-to-read calendar of where all of the communicating science sessions were going to be. So that told me that they made this a priority. So I thought, and they actually had to knock down walls, portable walls, obviously, in one of the events where Chris Mooney, Richard Somerville, and Susan Joy Hassel were speaking. It just was beyond standing room only, so I was very happy to see that.
Yeah, I heard that that went really well.
Yeah.
I got caught, and I missed that session, so unfortunately.
You wouldn't have not had a seat. That's how bad it was. The other thing that I thought whoever was on the list should be made aware of, have people seen John Cook's The Scientific Guide to Global Warming Skepticism? It's been out for about 10 days now.
Say the name of the book again?
Yes, it's online. It's if you go to skepticalscience.com. We worked on this handbook for about 3-4 months. It is the human fingerprints of global warming, along with sort of a debunk of the most popular skeptic myth that pertains to each of those. It is.
I think that went out to the list, actually.
Did it? Okay, good.
Can you say the name of the book again?
It's The Scientific Guide to Global Warming Skepticism. It's a 16-page PDF file. Very, very simple to read, highly illustrated, and there's some well-known scientist names in the contributing list. And it's on
I think
website.
It did go... Great.
Did it?
I think it did go to the list, but I think what we can also do on the Climate Literacy Network, I think the website, there is a a page for documents, and we could put that up there.
Right. It was specifically written in to try to target high school teachers and even their students, so it's at a pretty simple to read level. And we're trying to get congressmen, we're trying to get in the hands of all our elected officials. We're working on that already.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is there any concern about the way the title reads? Sometimes it's hard for people to know which way it's going to fall.
Yes, it is, and that was one of the things we wrestled with. The motivation for the manual was that I'm sure you're aware of Joe Nova's, you know, Skeptics Handbook version 1 and 2. She's the Australian, you know, skeptic, and so this was sort of a response because that the Heartland Institute put up a lot of money to have that distributed. I think they sent 15,000 of those around the schools in Canada and the United States. And so it always bothered me that the good guys didn't seem to have an equivalent reply. And
mm-hmm.
he made up something that he actually, when Joe Nova was touring Australia, he and several scientists would show up and hand out something similar to this to people on their way in. He did it also when Anthony Watts did his tour. And so he said, why don't we make something that, instead of just a response to her, it's just overall, here's why we know humans are changing climate. And that's why he came up with this, and I think that's why we decided to kind of stay with that title, because we felt that we really wanted to target people that were undecided or who were skeptical by the true definition of skeptical, not contrarian or denial or whatever other word you want to use. And so we thought it was important to actually have that in the title, although we do understand that there's a double-edged sword using that phrase in the title. I agree with you.
Right, because when I first saw it, I was like, okay, is this something I want to see or not?
Well, you should always see what the bad guys are doing, right?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's the problem. We wrestled with that. But
mm-hmm.
Be devil's advocate. Let's say you're a regular What's Up with That reader, and you see
mm-hmm.
something that says human fingerprints for global warming. You're not going to read it,
mm-hmm.
right? So I know it's a fine line. It's like a razor's edge with that phrase. We wrestled over that, but we decided the people who might actually read that are people who need to read it.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you see our
question?
Yeah.
In terms of your earlier report about the AGU session on communications, from both of you that were there, are there archives or videos, postings about that session accessible to us?
I don't know. We can figure that out.
Yeah, I don't know if that one was a webinar or not. I'm trying to think. I don't remember seeing a camera in that room, whereas some of the other ones that I know were webinars, there was a camera. But it was Chris Mooney, Susan Joy Hoffel, and Richard Somerville. I would imagine they probably have their PowerPoints available somewhere. But I don't know if the actual talk, I don't know if I remember seeing that videotaped or not.
I'm going to just take a quick look here. Oh, wait, AGU webcasts are now available. Let's see what it says.
Comments about it in the list, or at least the subgroup of us got some very positive comments about that since it happened. So,
this is Mark. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Because I did send out to the list kind of a blog posting summarizing all those sessions and pointing to where the resources are. And that particular session was not videotaped. But a lot of the presentations will be available on the individual presenters' websites.
Well, actually, all of the featured lectures, which they did video, are all available in one place on the AGU site. I'm just looking at it now. I mean, they're not all related to climate change, but they're all there.
Can you send us that link or let us know which part of the website it is?
Sure. So, for example, the Stephen Schneider Memorial Lecture is there, but I don't see any of the others.
That was excellent.
Yeah, that was very good. I that one I did manage to get to.
Who gave it?
Oppenheimer. I forget his first name.
Michael.
Yep.
Michael.
Oh.
there was another one, too, that it was on, I think it was Friday, and it was Friday morning, and it started with Dr. Jim Hansen, and then it went to Richard Alley, then it went to Ken Caldera, and then Alan Robach. I mean, that just back-to-back was, they were fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, that was Friday session?
Yes, and I think that one was, Stephen Schneider was actually going to lead off that session, so they all had remarks about him.
Oh, yeah. All right, well, I don't have that one listed here. I'll send the link out to the list of the things that were videotaped at AGU.
So you don't see the Mooney-Somerville hustle thing there at all?
No, that would have been on Wednesday, would it have been?
That was Wednesday.
It was Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, it was Tuesday afternoon. That's right.
Hi, guys, it's Margaret from Madison Point. Margaret Mooney, not related to Chris. But
okay.
Well, we can, I mean... Everything
on Tuesday was one of these named lectures. There's no Shoemaker lecture, Langemann lecture, Bowen lecture, Nye lecture, Bowie lecture, Gutenberg lecture.
Well, do you want... I can probably just email them and ask them for links to their PowerPoint.
Sure, that would be great. That would be fantastic.
All right, I'll do that as soon as I hang up the phone.
Okay. Then if we get those all together, we can put it together in one place under the meeting notes with all the links, so that people can get to them easily. So Scott will send me links.
Assuming they have it, so, right. But I will ask. It's always step one.
And the session, just so I have in my notes correctly, is climate change, communicating climate change. Is that what it is? What was the title of that session?
I just turned my booklet in for workshop reimbursement, so I can't look it up now.
Okay.
Again, I described it in the posting I sent out to the list.
Okay, so Mark, we can actually include the link to your comments also.
I don't think I got that. I just joined this list, so I think I missed that.
Okay, but you did get the email today? Just
Yep.
Checking. Okay, good. All right, are there any other comments? I did want to do a recap. We had as was suggested a couple weeks before the AGU meeting, we did have a meeting at the AGU of the Climate Change Education funded projects. The main people that were invited were NSF, NASA, and NOAA funded climate change education projects, and there were others there too. We had about 30 people, but before we get into that, are there any other announcements or any other comments about the AGU meeting that people would like to share?
This is Margaret from Madison. I just want to briefly say how fabulous Naomi Orsk was. How do I pronounce her last name? She's one of the authors. How do I say it? She's one of the authors of Merchants of Doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And she was fabulous. And her message and her delivery were great, and if anyone ever has a chance to hear her speak, I recommend taking her up on that.
Okay. Okay, well then I will talk a little bit about the meeting that we had with the NSF, NASA, and NOAA projects, and Mark was there. Is there anybody else on the phone? I'm not remembering now everybody who was there. That was okay. So anyway, it was a very successful meeting. Art Sussman from West Ed, who's a co-PI on the Pacific Islands CSEP project, which is with an NSF-funded project, offered his offices, which was a few blocks from where the AGU meeting was being held. And so we were there in the evening, got together. The main purpose was to network and to help people sort of establish partnerships and relationships. So we started off with some informal discussions, and then I presented an overview of what the Climate Literacy Network was and what the Clean Pathway Project was. And then we had an open session where we sort of decided on a number of topics that we would like to describe and discuss in smaller groups. And according to my notes, and they might not be complete, the topics that were discussed in these breakout sessions was, one was teaching about the essential principles. One was on partnerships and with some focus on the supplements that the NSF projects can submit to. There was one on looking at discussing the fine line between education and advocacy and where that line is. And then there was another one on energy literacy. Mark, am I missing one? I'm not sure if I'm missing one or not.
That sounds right to me.
Okay. And which one were you in, Mark?
Dealing with controversy.
So the education advocacy line?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to just sort of give a brief description of what the kinds of things that were discussed there, and then I can go ahead and talk about the one. I was in the partnerships one.
We talked about the constraints that a lot of agencies have in terms of getting into the arena of advocating particularly around a particular policy or a particular solution to climate change. And there were a number of people from NOAA, and I'm trying to think if other agencies were in that group or not. But in any event, I think it was just good to get different people's perspectives on the sometimes thin line of how to deal with you know, trying to inspire people to know the facts and change their behavior without becoming too prescriptive about it. And there was also some discussion about how the new Congress is going to change dynamics, and some of you probably have seen the fact that a Republican representative has already set up a website for people to make their suggestions on where to cut in the National Science Foundation.
Yeah.
And what programs to cut. So we talked a little bit about the changes that are coming soon and what the implications might be for all of us who are funded through these projects.
Yeah. I did hear that there was a concern, not necessarily at this particular meeting, but there was a concern that the NSF budget might be cut as much as $12 million.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It does seem like that's what NSF is one of the agencies that they're really targeting.
So, but, and so I'll, did you have more to add, Mark?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, because I can follow up with that. The session, the topic that I was part of was conversations about partnerships and the supplements, and we had Jill Karsten in our session. She came to be a resource because she knew that the main focus would be on those supplements. And so two things. One thing that was very encouraging was that that supplemental funding and possibly even the phase two, they feel will go for sure the supplemental funding will go through no matter what happens in Congress, that they'll find the money somehow to move that forward. So that was encouraging. The other thing which was the purpose of this session and the purpose of our having the meeting at AGU at all was to start to bring different projects that are working along in climate change education together because these supplements are focused on bringing in new partners to these projects or piloting small implementations. So they didn't really want large-scale implementations. They're considering that for phase two. And so by bringing groups together like this, we were able to identify potential partners for some of these supplements. And one example is, and Bora, actually, your representative was there in our session. What's her name now? Was her name
Lori
Naomi?
Mann. No,
yes,
Lori Mann.
Lori Mann, yes. And Karen McNeil was there. Karen McNeil is a PI on the CLPSI CSET project, which is southeastern United States. And so they made the connection there where NAAWE has regional offices, and the regional offices in her region might be able to make a, that might make an interesting partnership, a beneficial partnership for everybody. So they're going to continue conversations. So that was the purpose of the meeting, and so that session was pretty successful also. Mark, you were in the energy literacy, so there was a discussion about energy literacy there that Joel Rosenberg was part of, but he's not on the phone, and I don't know what happened in that. But Mark, there was the follow-up energy literacy meeting after I had to leave. Do you want to describe that at all? Mark, are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I put myself on mute. So.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, so we've been pestering the Department of Energy for quite some time to take the lead on developing a companion document to the Essential Principles of Climate Literacy that would focus on energy. We had a meeting in Washington November 1st. Then we had this follow-up meeting at AG in San Francisco last Wednesday night at Saul Griffith's laboratory. I mentioned it also in the blog posting, if any of you are interested in Saul and some of the very creative work he's doing around energy literacy. But we had about 25 people, some of them from Department of Energy, some from various creative groups in the San Francisco area, and it was kind of a brainstorm session. Basically, the Department of Energy has tasked an Einstein fellow named Matthew Inman to help facilitate this process to develop the essential principles of energy. And so Matthew's in the process of setting up a wiki that interested people will be able to put their comments into. And again, they're using the climate literacy as sort of the model for this, although they'll also be including behavior, literacy, and kind of the emotional affective domain, which we weren't able to include in the original climate literacy document. So the meeting on last Wednesday was mainly to just bring people up to speed. The meeting we had in Washington was mainly people from the East Coast. This meeting in San Francisco was mainly people from the West Coast. So there's obviously more community building we need to do to engage a good cross-section of people around the country that are interested in helping develop this energy literacy framework. But it has support from Secretary of Energy Chu and a woman named Michelle Fox, who reports directly to him, is the one who's kind of driving this, although Matthew's doing the bulk of the actual work on this. So I'm sure we'll send out information when the wiki gets up through the climate literacy list so that anybody interested can take a look and put your input into the mix. I think also for those of you not familiar with the energy literacy work that Saul Griffith, who's an Australian, and Joel Rosenberg, who works at the Lawrence Hall of Science, they've done some very good work. And you just go to energyliteracy.com. The site is a little bit dated because Saul's very busy with other things, but take a look because there's some pretty fantastic resources there.
Okay, great. Is there anybody else who's on the call who was at AGU that has another perspective or other information they'd like to convey to everybody? Okay. Are there any other topics that people would like to address, talk about?
This is Lynn, Venturi.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to mention that one of the issues, you know, Mark was talking about advocacy, you know, the whole issue about advocacy, and regarding the Young Voices on Climate Change films, there was that issue with, you know, whether they could be put on a government website. And National Science Foundation has put them up on their website. They're in the resources section. And
great.
They're also on the NEA, National Education Association website. And so now government agencies can, you know, that can't link to other, you know, non-government websites can link to them. And, you know, for the people who don't know, they're three-minute pieces on kids who have reduced CO2 emissions in some creative ways. And they're all replicable, so I hope you'll link to them. They're also on the Jane Goodall Institute's website. They did a full page. That's another possible link for people.
Great. What did it take to get it up on the NSF site?
I just went in and talked to Sonia Ortega, and she said, "Oh, these are great. Well, we should put them up on our website." It was that easy.
Oh, terrific.
NEA was the same. They just liked them and didn't have any problem with them. So I think especially, you know, with the last two, which are, you know, one is just, it's really just about energy, saving energy,
mm-hmm.
and saving money, that, you know, that now the, when you look at them as a body, they don't get you as advocacy when you look at them all told, you know, especially the one where the, you know, scientist and Woods Hole scientist is studying the Arctic runoff and the Siberian girls helping him. So I think it was really just the ALEC one people had troubles with, but now he's spoken at Bioneers and he was a TED speaker and he's, you know, I'm doing a TV movie about him. So he's just become sort of such a celebrity that it's just becoming a non-issue, I think.
I see. Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other comments?
Yeah, and to anybody that hasn't ever seen Lynn's videos, definitely check them out. Lynn, maybe you can send out a note to the list just to remind people where they are.
Okay, that would be great.
That would be great.
We just sent out a big email blast because we were having a sale this week on the DVD. But I will send something out.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Mark.
Okay, well, this is a slow period with the holidays, so I wish everybody a very happy Merry Christmas and a happy holiday. We will plan to talk, for those of people who are still around, next Tuesday. Thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, Tamara.
Yep. Bye, Tamara.
Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.